Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of State of Our Nation. It has been 4 days since the passage of Hurricane Elsa, and while the damage assessment is still to come due, we are hearing a damage toll to the tune of just over 1,900 homes and still counting. One of those damaged homes, 89 of them, totally collapsed. In the days immediately after the hurricane, Prime Minister Mia Mottley toured affected areas to get a sense of the displacement and dislocation that Barbadians have suffered. In a press conference on Saturday night, Prime Minister raised concerns about the quality of construction as well as the types of standard of material used in the construction of some of the homes that have suffered damage. It certainly raises questions about the long-standing discussion surrounding mandatory building codes. The complaint from many architects have been is that while the Barbados National Standard Institution, that's the BNSI, has long established a pretty good building code, it currently only serves as a guideline as it has no legal teeth behind it. Now, one of the voices crying in the wilderness as far as this issue is concerned is President of the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, BAPE, that's Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Brown. And he is here with me this morning to flesh out this issue of the building codes. Good morning, Mr. Brown, and welcome to State of Our Nation.
This podcast is brought to you by eWallet by MasiCard.
MasiCard credit card has gone digital. Download the new eWallet by MasiCard app that gives MasiCard credit card holders more power to pay bills, earn Masi points, send credit, and so much more. Easy, instant, and secure from your smartphone. Go digital with the free eWallet by MasiCard app. Now available on Google Play or the Apple App Store.
To get started or find out more, call the MasiCard hotline at 418-CARD. That's 418-2273.
By the way, let me find out. Do you prefer to be called Lieutenant Colonel Brown or just Mr. Brown will do fine?
Anything is fine. That's not
okay.
Good morning to you, and thank you for the opportunity to share the Engineers Association's position on some of these important issues.
Let me give you an opportunity to first weigh in on the preamble, which I would have provided. Does that paint an accurate picture of the state of affairs currently as it relates to those building codes?
Pretty much, yes, you do. Except I would suggest to you that the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers is merely one of the many organizations and people in Barbados who have been calling for standards. In fact, the Prime Minister herself has been at the head of this, and notably after her experience when she visited Bahamas 2 years ago after their very traumatic experience. Her pleadings and commitment to doing something about it was actually, we found quite impressive. So generally in Barbados, we have seen the need for building codes for improving the standard of our housing stock. And BAPE it just happens to be central to our profession. But there's been a common call for such improvements.
Okay. Yes, the number of houses destroyed represents just about 2% of the housing stock, based on my calculation. Now, most may consider that to be a small number and may even contend that it's indicative that Barbados building standards are, up there with the best. How would you respond to that argument?
2% of the building stock is actually quite significant. But there's not only the question of the loss of the building stock, the loss of productivity, the potential for injury and damage to health and wellness of persons. I mean, the overall loss is to the fact that the extended time that we're going to be without utilities, for example. All these are negative contributors to national development. And our position at BAPE is that we have reached the state of national development, of advancement, where these are things that we can manage and we should be managing. And I would suggest that a storm like that, a level one storm, that really, to be quite honest, was nowhere near as damaging as it potentially could have been if we look at historical evidence around us. Really, it should be less than 1%. And maybe even, at the very least, we should be managing this situation very carefully. And even if you listen to the reports about the kinds of damage that we saw, these are, in many cases, this is quite easily preventable. So it is 2%, maybe even if it's 2%, that is 2% too much.
It's interesting that you raise that point, because the other issue that we have to look at is that this is only July, and we might be, if this might be an ominous sign that we are in for what could be considered a very busy hurricane season with more powerful storms. And then also, when you look at the context of the freak storm that we had earlier, what is the worry for you and Babe, given the context that I just painted with more storms likely to come?
The context that you painted is actually quite conservative. The truth is that traditionally, we would not even have seen our first storm as yet. And even so, the tradition for Barbados is that we get lots of little brushes, and it is all the way down in maybe August that we start to really get worried. As you said, we had that freak storm a couple of weeks ago. I mean, early in July, I mean, within the first week of July, we actually have a Category 1 hurricane, something that we haven't seen a hurricane now since Janet. Given what we've been hearing about global warming and about the unpredictability of these systems, the way they've been developing almost overnight from Category 1 to 5 and 6, 4 and 5, it is actually frightening. So when you talk about 2% damage, and when we talk about the fairly limited damage from the freak storm, that all has to be taken in the context of where we are and how that compares with tradition over the last couple of years. And it is actually quite frightening. But we have, even before the new reality of global warming and the impact it seems to be having on these hurricanes, we were concerned at BAP that we were overly exposed for our level of development. You cannot continue to put sophisticated technology and infrastructure into place, build and build on that, and leave it open to the risks that you could suddenly be taken back 20 or 30 years just because of one overnight freak storm. We all know this is possible. So good risk management says that as we develop, as we make our society more sophisticated and more technologically advanced, we have to put proactive systems in place to protect that investment. And we have not been doing that. And this is what concerns us at BAP. We seem to be working on the basis that we are going to continue to be lucky. There's no basis for that thinking.
Within that context, even within the utilities, you see that the investment that Flow would have made seem to have paid off. Is that along the line that you're talking about in terms of beefing up our infrastructure as well as the housing stock?
Well, all of the utilities have been beefing up. I mean, generally speaking, we have been building a fairly sophisticated infrastructure for our society. They all have been doing that. I'll be honest with you, what is actually missing is a national quality management system. So it's okay to have everybody going around doing all the various things. But in modern societies, there's an overall plan. There's a national goal. And then there are proactive systems put in place to take us towards the goals that we set and to help us to review how well we're doing and see where we need to take corrective actions. This seems to be missing. So we have lots of people doing lots of things. And, you know, this body is putting in the fancy infrastructure and like Empower is building all sorts of energy bridges and all. These are all very, very good. But in terms of the overall quality management system, where are we going? We still have a significant part of our electrical infrastructure, for example, overhead, exposed to trees and wind and lightning and all that, where we know that the underground system is significantly more resilient. Certainly, there need to be some long-term plan. Obviously, the cost of doing it overnight or over 2 or 3 years is prohibitive. But a plan that says that we will do it over the next 30 years, taking maybe 4 or 5 or 6% per year underground, and building that kind of resiliency, that is the kind of thing that we need to see in place. So what BAP is talking about is the long-term planning. We are intimately aware of the short-term interesting and innovative plans that are being put in place. The roof-to-reef project sounds very, very good and all that. Where does it fit in the overall quality management structure? And I think that is where we fall down as a country. The whole question of problem-solving and making the system better and better year by year, rather than almost operating on the hope that we're not going to get a big hit. We'll just improve this and we'll improve that and we'll wait and see what happens here and then we'll decide what we do. The ad hoc approach is what bothers us, to be quite honest.
Okay. Now, mandatory building code debate is something that has been going on for a long time. It rears its head every now and then. Case in point, the Campus Trends tragedy, it reared its head on that occasion. What are the stumbling blocks do you see that's preventing it from having that legal teeth? Additionally, while you could tackle this question as well, do you see by putting in building codes or building standards, etc., that is going to increase the cost of construction housing in any way as well? I mean, is that something that persons are afraid of? What are your thoughts on what I just raised?
Okay, good question. And the truth is, it is generally accepted that the use of building codes is an international best practice. Everybody does. I mean, it actually makes more sense than anything else in the short term, in the long term, in the medium term. So that is really not a debate. I mean, everybody is on board with the need for building codes. So as you said in your preamble, there is actually a building code in Barbados. The document has been prepared. I mean, this is a sophisticated document that involved input from a significant number of stakeholders. Would have taken the BNSA probably years to put together and to have final approval on, and would involve lots of compromises, between costs and quality and resilience and all that. And we have the document completed. The problem in Barbados, quite frankly, right, as I said before, is the lack of implementation. So it isn't like an argument where you have to convince people that there's a need for a building code. Most people who understand these things agree that we need to have a building code to the extent that we do have one. Most people understand that it should be mandatory to the extent that the Prime Minister herself led the review of the new Planning and Development Act, which actually solves the problem from our perspective. It is an innovative piece of legislation that actually brings a level of quality to the whole building infrastructure in Barbados. And it was, again, this was done we were quite happy with the process that was used to put in place. We weren't happy with all of the outcomes. If it was up to us at BAP, we would have done some things differently. But we are absolutely happy that with the compromises that were made, with the process that was undertaken, and we accept that we didn't get all we wanted. The problem, as you said, is that having done all that, having everyone on board from the Prime Minister down, the ministers are all on board with it. I mean, I listened to Minister Abrams last night reviewing where we are with the current situation. And he says, basically, we need to have minimum standards in building. That's a basic common sense thing. The problem we have is that despite knowing what we need to do, despite having the resources to do it, despite having the intellectual capacity to get these things done, somehow they are not being implemented. That is the problem that needs to be solved in Barbados. And it's not only to do with building codes. This is a basic problem that we need to have to get solved in Barbados. So in answer to your question, the code is there. People are on board. The architects were involved in doing it. The Town and Country Planning Society, they were involved in doing it. The BAP, we were involved in doing it. The government led the process. I mean, you can't ask for better collaboration. And yet at the end of the day, this thing has not been put in place. That is the problem that we need to address. And they suggest to you that a national quality management approach, something where at the national level, we establish where we want to go as a country in terms of setting minimum standards. And then we all work towards that collaboratively. That management structure, that quality management structure does not exist. And that is a serious problem that we're facing.
The Prime Minister would have raised gave some advice in terms of trying to get everyone on board with the whole idea of understanding what are the quality standards and so on. What are your thoughts on that as a solution, though, her position?
No, I fully understand the Prime Minister's intent. The Prime Minister is a very empathetic person. She actually, emotionally, she gets really attached to things that bother Barbadians. And it is you naturally tend to think that that is the solution. But let me give you a little bit of an example. If you're going to invest $300,000 in a place for you or your family to live safely through possible storms, when you design this place, you have to take into consideration the possible winds that you could experience from time to time, as we saw over the last couple of days. There's the consideration for water, from rain, from significant rain, 2 or 3 inches of rain, which can happen. There's consideration for earthquakes, which we are exposed. So you can build a house that's perfectly solid for wind and for rain, and they can fall apart in an earthquake if it's not properly designed. You have to take consideration of the foundation you're building on. That is not a simple matter. You can build a really perfect house, and if it's sitting on top of a cave or unstable foundation, you have serious problems. There are questions about corrosion of the material that you, the kind of material that you select to use to build the, and as you listen more to that building collapse in Miami, you will find that that is a critical issue. Maybe not immediately, but 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, that could be a life and death situation. There's questions about cracking of the foundation and of the walls. There are the MEP considerations, the mechanical, electrical, and plumbing considerations. One of the problems that we have for not having, that we face in Barbados regularly out of not having a building code is called sick building syndrome. Do you have any idea what that costs this country on an annual basis? When you have to shut down large buildings and schools and abandon them and make people ill and have shutdown of work for weeks and move people to another location. Even the parliament have suffered from that. That is a result of poor planning up front. So in deference to what the Prime Minister has said about Barbadians getting to understand building, it is too complicated. This is, there are too many variables at play. And this is why we send engineers off to university, make sure they understand the sciences. And then even when they qualify and come back here, they have to go through a four-year period, which I must tell you is not easy to qualify, to the extent that we have hundreds of people in Barbados who have the academic qualification and they cannot call themselves engineers because they have not gone through that experience and internship process successfully. That is what, and then even when you do that, then you have to work, build up some years of experience before you can actually go off and advise people to cover all of these potential risks and hazards to protect the investment. And as the Prime Minister herself said, as a professional, when you give the advice and something goes wrong, you are taking professional responsibility and liability for what goes wrong. So when a customer utilizes the professional service of a qualified engineer, they protect themselves from all of these risks. As you, the next question you ask, which is the natural one that comes, is what is this going to cost?
Right.
If you don't have a proper system in place, it will be expensive. If, for example, we did not have a medical management system in place, a national system, the truth is, the reason why you can go to a doctor and you know almost, you have almost a predictable cost of the consultation with the doctor is because the law says you have to go to a doctor if you want to go into the hospital, if you want to get dispensed medicine. If you are sick, you have to go to a doctor for professional advice. There was a time in the 1940s and 50s, you didn't have to do that. You just went and picked some bush and boiled some things and maybe killed a lizard or something and boiled it. And, you know, that's what people did. And I can tell you that the average lifespan back then was in the region of 50 years. We put a system in place that said, if you are ill and you need medical attention, you have to go to a medically trained professional who will make sure that you have standardized, high-quality advice in what you take for your body and all that. As a result, the average lifespan in Barbados in 2021 is close to 80 years, up from 50 in 1950, because you put a quality system in place. Now, did the cost go up? Yeah, because you paid nothing back in 1950. And now you may have to pay $100 or $150 for the advice. But look at the benefits that we have seen. The average person now lives for 80 years rather than the average person living for 50 years. So when you put this system, a national system in place, like the Planning and Development Act sought to do, what will happen is that engineers, there will be hundreds of engineers who will be available for consultation, and the market forces will make sure that the price is up. So you'll be getting high quality, professional, guaranteed advice, and the price is going to come down and down and down. And I've been arguing that it will, you can expect it will be in the same region as you pay to go to a doctor for a normal consultation.
Want to sell your property or vehicle fast? You can double your chances with Nation Classifieds. Book one-worded advertisements for 1 week or 14 days and double it for free. Both packages include one free photo and free promotion on our websites for 30 days. Nation Classifieds. Double your chances with double the audience and double the value in print, online, and on social media. Call 430-5522 and double the value with Nation Classifieds.
One of the things I myself was on the tours with the Prime Minister. One of the things that we would have noticed was lack of insurance. There was persons didn't have insurance. I don't know if it's about the affordability of insurance per se, because I mean, I know I interviewed a couple of persons and they noted that one lady in particular said that the insurance came, they inspected the property and the roof was not sealed. I don't know what that means. Maybe you could explain that to our listeners later. and, you know, they couldn't get insurance. Would having that standardized building code and building standardization make it much easier for insurance to have the confidence to insure these properties, especially given that they are now certified to be resistant to higher storm winds and these other natural disasters that may come our way?
Absolutely, no question about it. You could understand the difficulty of an insurance company dealing strictly in finance, taking on the risks that a building can be destroyed, and having no background understanding about the quality of work that went into the construction. You insure a building for $500,000, and then it turns out to be one of those that fall down from just the first freak storm that we have. So obviously, the insurance company has to protect its financial level. You know, if we had a building code, and the insurance company had the assurance that this building met certain minimum standards, and that there was some professional somewhere with professional liability insurance who was taking responsibility for the quality that went into that building, well, the insurance company can close their eyes and insure the building, because they have the assurance of quality up front. They have the assurance of even liability insurance from the professional if it turns out the professional did not live up to the standards that is expected. So it makes it a lot easier. And because it's easier, I think you would expect the cost of insurance to actually go down too. Because if you move to a situation where you can have a storm like the one we had last weekend, and you have like maybe only 0.1% of house stock damage, well, then the insurance industry feel a lot more comfortable about offering insurance in a situation like that. So it all goes hand in hand. And as a matter of fact, what you'll find is that inherent in the Planning and Development Act is the whole question of liability insurance for professionals and insurance for the housing stock. The other problem I actually would like, when we talk about a national management system, I would like Barbadians and particularly government to consider, is I think it is admirable that government has moved so quickly to address those people who were displaced by the hurricane. But you yourself mentioned, I mean, what happens if there's another one in the next couple of weeks, and then another one 2 weeks after that, and then another one, which is actually absolutely possible in today's world? Is the government going to take up all the responsibility for all of these damages? And can we afford to do that? And who's going to pay for it? How is it going to work out? So when they talk about a long-term quality management plan, it has to include some kind of insurance, some kind of national insurance arrangement that manages these costs on an overall cooperative basis. It cannot be that government is just, you know, every time a house blows down, the government is actually going to fix it. Maybe we can do that in the short term. And it is admirable that we have the kind of caring government that would take that approach. The question has to be asked, is that sustainable? And therefore, is it a practical approach? But if you set that precedent, what happens when there's a Category 3 storm 2 weeks from now?
Interesting things to ponder. Mr. Brown, I we are coming to the end of our podcast, but I want to give you the opportunity to have the last say on anything else that you wanted to maybe touch on. As I said, you have been, you know, the voice on this issue for quite some time.
Well, thank you again for the opportunity. I would like to summarize by saying that the issue we face in Barbados is the lack of a national quality management system, where as a country, we establish where we want to go. And I actually think the Prime Minister, we are lucky to have a Prime Minister, a leader, that with the kind of empathy and the kind of vision that could actually do that quite well. And that kind of guidance, then managing systems, not actions, but systems that move you towards that. So in the same way that the medical system has resulted in significant improvement in health standards in Barbados to the extent that you can actually measure longevity, we can have a similar approach to our infrastructural and housing systems in Barbados. Our housing stock is too important to the country as a whole to allow it to continue to be left to the situation where anybody can do exactly what they want and not be infringing some kind of standard or law that is part of our national culture in Barbados. That culture and quality management system needs to be put in place so that everybody knows we have reached the level of development this is where we need to be at, and we want to bring everybody along to that standard. Some people we have to help, the cost may seem to be high in the early stages, but again, this is where government can step in and actually put things in place to make sure that it is affordable. It's far more cost effective to make sure that professional services are available to all Barbadians than it is to have to rebuild poorly built houses after every storm that we have.
Thank you again, Mr. Brown, for sharing your insight with myself and also listeners as well. And again, there you have it, folks, from the head of the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers. They are pushing, have been pushing along, as Mr. Brown would have mentioned, along with other sectors, to have mandatory building codes, again, within the context of the tropical storm that hit us. Well, I want to do wish everyone a productive day. And do be safe out there. And I hope everyone is now back to some normalcy after the passage of Hurricane Elsa. Again, thank you for joining me and do have a wonderful day.